Off the Ball Breakfast.
I have not seen a minute of this tournament.
That's what the cool kids say these days.
Genuinely haven't.
Everyone's saying that. I haven't seen a second of it.
It's not a thing. It hasn't even...
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Well there, you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We are into July, the 7th of July. We're off the back of a fairly outstanding hurling weekend. Right?
Not for the dubs, Tommy. Not for the dubs, no. Unfortunately. A great occasion, in inverted commas. That's what we'll try and frame that as. You were there, though. Savage crowd, full house. Bigger crowd yesterday as well than I thought for the Kilkenny Tip game.
Was it two full houses both days, no?
No, the upper tiers. Yeah, that's still pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it was good.
Is that a fire alarm or a microwave voice? But neither.
I don't think it was me.
Your brain, Tommy.
That's my brain. Okay, that's my
Jimmy,
brain. Get me to move on.
You look disheveled there today, Jimmy. Sophia's causing trouble already, is she?
I do feel tired now today, all right?
Really? It's hitting you?
Oh, no, it's not. I just got to get back to work and things.
Okay.
That's the next hurdle.
Parental leave.
Yeah. Back to the graft. That's all right, though.
When are you back at it?
Today.
Right. Okay. Busy weekend, was it?
I was back actually playing football myself the weekend.
How'd you get on?
Playing last round of County League, so it was nice. We drew.
Did you play? You played a bit of ball?
I did.
Lovely.
Any two-pointers?
No. God, the skills were miles off. Oh, lads.
Pull the trigger, man. Pull the trigger.
Oh, yeah, no, there's plenty of chances, but I'll tell you what, it's a savage game. There's so much room. So much room. It's all over the place.
It's way faster.
You do get an insight from playing it that the fitness required is off the charts, there's no breaks, there's no let up at all. You really do feel the fitness side.
You're not solo on goal, Jimmy. If you get a foul, you're not solo on goal, are you?
Definitely.
Take your breather. Pull the trigger from anywhere.
Not solo on goal, man. Definitely.
Jesus, no, not for me.
Because if you solo and go on the top of the D, it's a goal chance. He can't stop you for five steps.
Run if you're slow as a wet weekend, though. What you do then,
just go down again.
Yeah,
take three
second
steps and just go into forward roll.
Look for another free.
Yeah. Nah, it's nice, though. It's nice to get back at it with the weather nice and stuff.
Brilliant. I mean, have you been hit for hurling final tickets already?
No, not yet.
Cork and Tip fans.
Last year was different living in Clare, obviously. It was different. And it's going to be absolutely insane again. Cork and Tipperary.
It's Cork crowd. It's Cork. Jesus, they're mad for it. Bandwagoners.
Saturday was something else. There were 60,000 Cork fans in Croke Park on Saturday. It was reckless. 60,000.
Did you not see it, Jimmy? Jesus Christ.
Well, I thought the Dubs would bring at least half. No,
probably not as big a turnout as you would have. Saturday night, good weather. Yeah, it's a tough day for the Dubs, though. Cork were serious, though. Jesus,
I'll tell you what, you'll have nobody turning up to Dublin matches in a couple of years' time. The slightest start.
You reckon football wise too?
There'll be more seagulls inside and Croke Park for Dublin games and Dublin supporters.
Look at the two of you on your high fucking horses. I look forward to Tyrone and Donegal victories this weekend. A nice Ulster All Ireland final, it'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Could be.
James is busy beginning in Clarny, I'd say. We got a tweet last night, Daniel Costello. James, thanks so much for sorting us a taxi when they were so hard got in Killarney last night and having the crack with us. The mayor of the town.
No, he's on the way home. I met the lads, so that was nice, I used to be a walker home, but now obviously times have changed. Yeah.
It's a long walk. Long walk to Newcastle West.
Yeah.
Some mileage. What would be the kilometres from Killarney to Newcastle West? That's some walking. You've only little legs as well.
200, is it?
But your Abbey Field is in the way. So you're always getting backed up on Abbey Field. That was only part one of the tweet. We then saw Tommy Rooney at a bar in Bunratty on Sunday. The only one we didn't see was Paddy, unfortunately. So he got the triumvirate.
All you lads do is just go on the piss at the weekend. Jesus Christ, some boys.
I was at a christening after our league final with Cratlow. One of the boys.
Oh, did you win it?
Had a little fella. We won. Yeah, we won.
That's why you're looking rough as well today, T. Oh, I'm the only one just minding my kids at home. No. You know, just doing a bit for the next generation.
But I'm just wondering, lads, before we get into the All-Ireland semi-finals this weekend, because it is a gigantic weekend, there's a few little things from the weekend I want to talk about, okay? Goals. The goals at the weekend. The way the Cork forwards combined in the full forward line was just a joy to behold. And yesterday, Tipperary, the magic of the goals were just sensational. Like there is nothing like a goal in Croke Park, right? Like some of the celebrations we saw from Alan Connolly at the Hill, Oisin O'Donoghue sliding on his knees after that bloody brilliant finish as well. Like some sensational stuff.
Is this turning into the fucking hurling pad again? Like
I'm talking goals in general. I'm talking goals in the GAA.
Jesus Christ.
Green flags.
Okay. Green flags.
It is massive though, because Kilkenny could have pulled away in the hurling, only for the goals. It's some momentum change. We always say it's more than 3 points. Like the crowd was up, the players were up. It was like a deflation for the opposition. And it's some buzz to get a goal in Croke Park. There's no feeling like it. It's just the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah, you both done it.
No, I didn't do as much as Jimmy now.
But Paddy Andrews, you've done it. You've curled a beauty into the top corner in front of the hill and did your little celebration walk away against Westmeath.
40-point victory. Jimmy, you scored two against us in the All-Ireland semi-final into the hill. So I'd say that was a bit better buzz now. But they are key. And the big thing, and obviously with the rules potentially bringing in a 4-point goal at the start of the year and that was rolled back on, we've seen the momentum swing. The two-pointers have probably been the story of the championship this season. And we're going to see it again this weekend. You look at the four teams this weekend, the two-pointers have been such a weapon for them as well. Kerry the last day in particular. But you're right, you nick a couple of goals here. It's class. It's they're big, momentum swingers. Even with the two-pointers, they're still a huge part of the game. So
Do you reckon, and we're not saying change the rules, but do you reckon the four-pointer would have changed the way teams approach the goals if it was 4 points? Do you think it would make that much of a difference?
The whole thing, Jim Gavin was like, if you bring in the two-pointer is linked really to a four-point goal. That's what he was like. If we're doing this, then he should keep. That's why it's brought in. It made more sense. So I think the FRC rules have been such a success. Obviously, they've made a couple such of tweaks around it, like the kick-out thing and the 50-metre penalties and all that. I think these rules are pretty set. I don't think they go down the four-point rule again for the 2026 season. But
Even the Kerry Armagh game and even the Meath game as well in the quarterfinals, the amount of space in there. And if you have someone maybe like Jordan Morris or even like Clifford, if he does decide that maybe going for goals is the way forward, like there's chances there. There's chances there. And I said it before, I think that it's going to take a couple of months and years even for people to really start understanding the opportunities there, the way you can express yourself slightly differently. And it might take a year or two, but like there's goals out there to be got. It's impossible to defend. It's impossible when you've no help. And you know the ball is coming in and it's top of the ground stuff, a beautiful day in Croke Park. It's so hard to defend. So hopefully this weekend.
Do you think, Jimmy, Kerry hit what, 32 points against Armagh and didn't need to darken the door of the goal? They had that run of 14 points in a row. If the 4-point rule was in, would they try and force things a bit more? Would they have changed their approach? Or is, to be fair, if you kick 32 points, you're usually going to be all right. But that's would they have changed? Would they have tried to keep Clifford in? Don't mind the 2 points. You stay in on the square.
He had a hat-trick the week before.
I think it does depend on how the opposition defends as well, because Armagh defended in that term we hear, the low block. Like they brought players way inside the arc and just left Shawnee free on top of the D to kick 2 points as he liked. So if another team defends the arc a bit higher, which I think Tyrone will do this weekend, you are leaving more space in around the back for maybe a dummy or a pass over the top or a little dink into full forward line, like Michael Murphy was brilliant at in the quarterfinal, even for when he set up the goal for Langan. That little 1-2 on the edge is open. So it just depends on how a team defends, I think. And you have to have enough tools to be able to cause teams problems however they defend.
Isn't that part of the crux for Tyrone this weekend now? Their last day out, Dublin don't have a 2-point threat. They were more than happy to sit back and allow Dublin to do a passive ladder of play in front of him in the second half, whereas Sean O'Shea was just throwing a spanner in the works with that. You know, who stand off him? He could be like Clifford. Who goes on Clifford? Michael McKiernan is a big loss in a game like this. Like, who do Tyrone have to kind of go with him? It's
but you know, Petty,
different questions are going to be asked at Tyrone setup than were in the Dublin game. So that's definitely playing a better team. That's the nature of it.
If I was Sean O'Shea in the first half, I'd have been insulted the way that Armagh didn't bother with him.
There's a bit of complacency from Armagh there, wasn't there? Like that he hadn't, Sean, hadn't been at his peak, obviously. He hadn't been. Was there a bit of, be interesting to hear maybe if he spoke to the Armagh players, was he on the radar as much as maybe Sean from 2 or 3 years ago? You know, where we would have played, that Kerry team was like, someone needs to be on this guy. We had John Small, needs to be all over this fella. Mm-hmm. Whereas obviously the injuries and he hadn't been in top form. Was there a bit of Armagh kind of taking their eye off the ball a bit? And it was inexplicable that they did it for the whole 70 minutes and the guy kicks 10 points from play.
I think they did tag him a little bit in the second half. They did tag him in the second half, but he was just too hot.
The horse had bolted, the horse had bolted by that stage.
Yeah, he did.
But under the old rules, Tom, do you remember teams used to cheat off either 10 or 12?
Yes.
That was it. That was the way it was. And they'd maybe get their own 10 and 12 back to cover that spot. And if you were the one who was cheated off,
you wouldn't sleep that night, you'd be like, let him have it. If you ever heard that, there was two, let him have it, or when you're defending, it was like, go at him, go at that fella. It's like, oh man, you guys think so little of me.
but it's like, if you're cheating off someone,
what are you doing?
if he has a boot on him, like Shawnee has the best
unforgivable
maybe in the country. Like, to stand off him, I thought it was a bad call.
I ain't going to get that space on Saturday.
No, I think Tyrone will go absolutely welded onto him. They'll have a special plan for Clifford, and we'll see then. We'll see then if Kerry can keep chipping away, and then game open up second half.
The great battle of Conor Moylar and Paddy Clifford a couple of years ago. Moylar wins an All-Star, obviously Tyrone win the All-Ireland. They have a bit of history. And Moylar's only back from, we spoke with a couple of weeks, it was great to see him back after horrific injury was. Does Jack go with Paddy from the start? I'm all for impact subs and all that stuff, but Paddy Clifford,
I'm heading to Tralee shortly. Jack is doing a...
He'll tell you, definitely.
What I'd be asking him is...
Give us your 1 to 15 there, Jack. Yeah,
thanks. Cheers, Jack.
Jack lingers at half time on the sideline with Paddy. Were you there with me?
He was doing his warm up, basically. You knew he was coming on at half time.
I wonder what he said to him, like, apart from you're coming on, but I wonder what he said. But like, we watched Paddy and I have a video of him. He's very ginger in the warm up. Like, he's not.
Was he?
I thought so. I mean,
he tested. Do you know the point he got where he took two fellas on the end line, and he was going to have, he ends up hand passing over the bar, but he takes him on and he does a stop dead still then to get the space to put it over. Like, that tests every, if it's a quad, you're putting so much force, or if it's a hammer, you're doing the eccentric. Like, so if he was able to do that so comfortably and get a score, I'm thinking he's fine.
Like, I'm just watching this video. I have him, and he's barely strolling. Like, do you know the way somebody can put through your paces?
I mean, that's the warm-up.
You're out the gap from a warm-up. Do you know what I mean? I know that. I know. But
there's certain players, like Jimmy, in the warm-up, and they're like mad for out. They're going 1,000,000%. And there's other players, the Andrea Pirlo style, it was like the warm-up was like an insult.
Glass of wine again, FIFA.
Exactly, yes. So I'd say Paddy was just getting
there. There was a bit of that.
So doing his thing.
Declan Sullivan, for us, despised warm-ups. Like, could not understand why we even bothered, really. And he was just, because it was all, I suppose it was all mental for him. He was ready to go and that was it. There was nothing stopping him. And then the actual hassle of a warm-up and how intricate they became then and how serious it was and how much of a nod to the strength and conditioning coach it became. It was like their thing. Do you know?
There was a bit of that. There's a million cones out on the pitch. So it was like, lads, just... take a breath.
I'm allergic to cones. I am allergic to them.
Take a breath.
Run to the cone. Why?
See, we're going to get a lot of complaints from our strength and conditioning list. Hey, let's get our old friend of the show, Barry Seldon, will be on, and he'll put you through your paces there. One of the great conditioners.
I know the odds of having Shorten on you taking the Dublin job, but at some stage you two boys...
What are my odds now? Come on.
I haven't checked. But at some stage you boys are getting a gig together and you're bringing me along for the ride, okay? I want to keep an eye out on what happened and the way you're coaching, the way it's going on. I'm not saying I'll be your press guy, but maybe I could do something for you in the back.
The classic. We will all like on our social. Go out and express yourself, lads.
Play the United way.
Just play the United way. Just play off the cuff there. No. Hey. I'm still holding out. Those odds.
If you told me I was good enough, boys, I'd believe it. I'm telling you that. It's all about belief. You're seeing it at the minute. And belief has an awful lot to do with the journey of, say, the Meath boys. I had an interview with Robbie Brennan and Kieran Caulfield last week that'll be going out on Off the Ball. And
how'd that go?
How'd it go, T?
Perfect. But sure, those things, you know, they got it out of the way early. They got it done. They're in good form. And you can tell there's a good camaraderie there. And they're just loving the bubble that they're in at the minute with the county absolutely on fire around them. So it's exciting for Meath. And they're up against now a big challenge against Donegal on the Sunday. I say Meath are going to have a pretty ridiculous support there. I know it's been a pretty severe couple of weeks on Donegal supporters travelling around the country following the team. They've had a lot of games.
What's the jersey situation for the game?
Oh, I heard this.
They'll both change, will they?
We played
Donegal
happy.
In 14. I swear to God, it was just green and gold everywhere.
Crazy.
Because even in the we requested blue and were declined because we played the semi-final in blue and they said no. So then we both had to play in green and gold.
Why did they say no?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of consternation about this now, and I don't.
But even like what you wouldn't realize is that the Cusack, the Hogan Hill are green and gold as well. So and both teams are probably wearing the same colour shorts. It's impossible. It's impossible to see what's going on. Like, and if your goalie would want to have his wits about him because, like,
but that's why Derek and chipped it to Donaghy, was it?
I genuinely know.
Yeah, I know.
It could have been.
That's the low sun coming in as well. I agree. Yeah. Like the supporters, it's going to be great. It'll be magic. It'll be green and gold. They were like, I'm looking at probably, I don't know, sellout tea, but you're going to get close to 70,000 there, I would have thought.
I think you're getting over 60 again. Do you know, there was 50,000 at the Loudon and Meath game, obviously both very close to Dublin. I think there's going to be a massive Meath support there. Likewise, Donegal will have a brilliant support. I think the jersey situation, I could be wrong now on this, but Meath have a navy strip and also a yellow strip. I think they want to be in their navy strip, but they're going to be in yellow. Meath are going to be in yellow, and I think they wanted to be in navy, but they're going to be in yellow. I don't know what.
And what are Donegal going to be?
Yellow and white.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a clash.
Yeah. I think go navy. Put Meath in navy.
The GAA are saying you're not allowed to change to navy.
I'm not sure what it is. I've just heard that there's a little bit of consternation going on in the background.
We'll be there too. We won't be able to make it out from level 7.
Ah, we will. We know.
You know, I'm blind. I know what you say.
You have to know by the gacha of the players. You should know the players so well that you know by their movements.
You do have to know. But did you hear me, James, in our commentary on 98FM? I was getting caught with the smalls every single time one of them had the ball.
Ah, jeez. Honestly.
Oh, but Paddy, the way they move. I know there's slight differences.
Paddy's left footed, John is right.
I know, but Paddy tracked back a couple of times into the fence and I couldn't believe it was him coming out with the ball.
This is you throwing your arse at your preparation as usual.
Yeah, exactly.
Any talk of the Tata Cup this week or you just ignore that?
I'm literally just getting to my hour with the Limerick footballers. My hour with the Limerick footballers on Thursday evening.
No interest in them or the hurlers were going well, Tommy?
I did. Plenty of interest in them. And,
no interest in them. I was
they're
all
flying at them.
Well, Limerick this, John Kiley this, Declan Hannan that. And now, sure, look, they're in the final now on Saturday.
There's interviews with Jimmy Lee, Micheál Cahill, their head coach, who has a very interesting background and is clearly having a big impact on their style of play. Tommy Childs, their big midfielder. And Barry Coleman, their vice-captain, going out and off the ball this week. Tommy Childs is this throwback midfielder. He's about 6'5", right? You want to see this lad's face light up when you ask him about the kick-outs. I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, he was sick of the short kickouts. And I just think it's just phenomenal to, even just to see that, the level of excitement with something as simple.
The rules have saved the midfielders. Tradition. Get that ball out into the middle.
Yeah, so we were having a bit of a chat.
You could be a 5'9" midfielder there for a couple of years. Now you have to be a strapping 6'3" minimum animal in the air.
Don't go near the middle third unless you're over 6'5". Hey, get the fuck out of here, like.
Or you've got a core like Micheál Burns, you know, leaping above the line.
That was one catch he's got. Jesus, I don't know if he's going to be lining up midfield there now at the weekend with Joe O'Connor, but we'll see. We'll wait and see.
Let's see. But yeah, no, big weekend ahead in the Touch Cup final as well. That's on Saturday. So who's covering the game with me on Saturday? James?
Me,
you're a co-worker on Saturday. Right, okay. So we've got that double header on Saturday. And I think Jonathan Higgins is in with us too, so he'd be working on that. And then we've got Paddy Sunday. We've got the Junior All-Ireland Final. We'll know on Friday who's playing that one. And then we've got
I'm light on info for the Junior Final. I must hold my hands up there.
We will be keeping an eye on it. It'll be a good game. And then we've got Donegal and Meath. We're going to have our members pod during the week. We've obviously got our roadshow the following week as well in Crow Park. So
3 weeks' time. 3 weeks.
Put a lot of bad signals out already, boys. You know, no idea where we're going to end up, but I'm doing a little bit of work in the background, so you boys will be pleasantly surprised with hopefully
really?
We end up with. Yeah.
Oh, post show.
I'm expecting you to deliver here now, because this could be the greatest yet. It has to be.
Yeah. We're going to have a little table in the corner with members of the FRC, just chipping in with some bits and pieces as well. Yeah, no, it's going to be fun, lads, and I can't wait for it. It's going to be great crack. On Wednesday, I think we're going to properly go through the matchups from both teams and what way you think both games are going to go. But is it fair to say in the Donegal Meade game, Meade have a fair job to do on Michael Murphy, and Sean Rafferty, their number three, who's caught the eye throughout this year, is going to end up marking him, definitely in the full forward line. I don't know whether it'll be a different story if Murphy drifts out, but that's going to be a key matchup this week.
But that is the crux of it. If Murphy takes Rafferty out the field, how comfortable will Rafferty be? Because he has been absolutely awesome in the full back line. I know he came out the field a little bit.
Came in as a six originally, James.
Yeah.
He's played six a lot, but he's been brilliant.
He has been brilliant. I know he came out the field against Galway and made a couple of interceptions and tackles. They were phenomenal. But like Murphy's so smart and so experienced that he'll know if one avenue isn't the right one, and he'll poke Rafferty a different way, or he'll suss him out somewhere else. Like, Rafferty will be tested here. There's no doubt about it. Like, Murphy is one of the best in the business. So cute and smart. And even the way he played last week, I thought was brilliant. Like, he played inside for a lot of it. He was making short 10-15 meter bursts for the ball, like it was 15 years ago. And great hands, dishing off, unselfish, kicking. Was a little bit rusty, obviously, maybe a bit of fatigue.
Second half, he
needs to be nailed down, because he is the inspirational leader. There is no doubt about that. If you get on top of Murphy, even a turnover or two, maybe force him into a few mistakes, the Meade crowd will love it. The Meade players will love it. It does galvanize you if you force him into a few mistakes. So that matchup is absolutely key.
The big thing with this, and I think Chris McCaig spoke about this, might have been on GA Social earlier in the year with the lads, that how fluid the game is, and man-to-man marking has gone out of Gaelic football. It's not a big a deal as it was previously. The game is just so fluid. Teams are up and down the pitch and players are transitioning between positions and things like that. But there are certain players for certain teams, like you said it there, if Rafferty picks him up and then Murphy drifts out, which we know he will, and Rafferty goes, well, I'm not going to go out there with him, Murphy gets lost in the ether of the game. And he's too smart and too crafty. Donegal will find him. And he gets in the pockets. And all of a sudden, he's not out the pitch. He's not inside. Who's picking him up? He is too influential for me to let off the hook. Like, he's drifting out to get on the ball. So these smart players do. Where's the space? Waiting for the opponents to switch off. There are certain players in the game that you have to latch onto no matter where they go. Old school. Like, absolute. If he goes into the jacks, I'm going in there with him. And you look back, you know, Brendan Rodgers did a brilliant job in the Ulster final a couple of years ago for Derry, and Derry actually win it in extra time, and he goes man-to-man on Murphy, whether he's inside or whether he's out in midfield or not. Meade, I know it can mess up defensive structure. Coaches go, well, look, smart players will drag you out of position and all that type. And that is true, but there are certain players who you just have to make exceptions for. And Michael Murphy, in his form with Donegal and his role on that team this year, is one of those guys. So, Meade need to have a plan for that. And I'm sure Robbie Brennan will have a plan for that. We've got to shut him out of the game, no matter where he goes. No matter where he goes. And if it leaves a hole in the defence for someone else, well, we've just got to be aware of that and deal with that. And it might be a thing where Oisín Gallan has a bit of a field day here, because even more space is going to be created. But I think Murphy's that critical. Meade have got to be on him everywhere.
Can I hop in on there in 2 points? Because I think you're right. I think Meath, when this allowed Sam Mulroy to drift in the Leinster final, and Sam Mulroy got 57 or so touches of the ball, I think they may have learned their lesson on that one, right? And yeah. I think you're spot on, Paddy. And if they haven't learned their lesson, that's a big worry. But I think that stands out. And Robbie Brennan spoke about learning lessons from the Leinster final. I'm sure that
he
was
did. One. Brilliant insight into how he's operating and what he's thinking about.
The other one is, and this is the one I'd have a question, is how you deal with Murphy in the air. Mulroney, when he stepped in for Patton, obviously hit a lot at him. And Peter Tague did a brilliant job for Tyrone, jumping in and physically kind of outmatching Murphy late on in a couple of late kickouts. But Patton as well, they have their direct kickouts to Murphy that they just cause so much damage off them. But the biggest damage is usually the Donegal runners flooding off his shoulder.
Correct.
Yeah. For those flick-ons. So I suppose it can be stopped at source, and it can also be stopped around that as well.
Well, I mean, you see, once the kickout is out there, it takes on a life of its own, because even if Rafferty competes and breaks it, if Donegal have their men in the right areas around the break, they're going to win it and they're gone. So it just depends on what your setup is around them. Like, it's not just who's competing in the air. It really does matter about where you put your bodies around the break and who's probably got the better positioning and got the more pace. Like, I don't think that Meath are going to be cut out where Murphy's catching five or six kickouts. Like, Meath are one of the strongest teams aerially. Like, they really are. I said it last week, Robbie Brennan, he's done a lot of work on those kickouts. He's said it in every interview. We've been working on kickouts. The kickouts is such a fundamental part of the game. So I don't think that Murphy's going to be lording kickouts constantly, but I think that Meath definitely have to be aware of those breaking balls, because Donegal will go for the juggernaut.
Well, Meath on the ground have been very, very good. And you mentioned Robbie Brennan. I'm sure Conor Gillespie is having a big impact as a coach on that as well. But on the ground, Meath have been aggressive and on the ground as well, which has been big.
That's the key. You talk about Murphy catching the ball, or Jason McGee or Michael Langan catching the ball. It's not the danger with Donegal. And the second half, outside of the first score Oisín Gallan gets in that semi-final or quarter-final against Monaghan, where there's the Donegal from using that play for 10 years, tap it down and it's Ryan McHugh or it's Patter Morgan or it's Owen Bond Gallagher coming, and they're up the pitch in 5 seconds off a tap down. Meath will be aware of that. And that was the only time Donegal did it in the first half. They were sloppy outside of that, but they got that running game going in the second half. And this is the challenge for Meath, and I know we'll get to maybe more specifics around predictions and where we see the game being won and lost on Wednesday, but Murphy is massive and he needs a specific detail. But it's those threats that Donegal have outside of that. Kieran Thompson's two-pointers, Michael Langan, that second half performance, because he's one of the best players in the championship. And when Donegal get that running game going, Kieran Moore, Hatter Morgan, Bon Gallagher, there's a lot of fires this Meath team has to put out. That's what they're going to be preparing. That's what you're backing Robbie Brennan. But it's Donegal have a variety of threats, and that's why they're in the semi-final. That's why they're Ulster champions. That's why they're one of the favourites for the All-Ireland, because Murphy's the cherry on top, but they've got a hell of a lot of other good stuff as well.
Yeah, you know, Conor O'Donnell kicked 4 or 5 points the last day. Yeah, O'Donnell was man of the match. You know, like, they're threats all
Paddy,
over
Paddy Mack coming off the bench. Like, they're a good team, Donegal.
I wonder, does Jason McGee start this week? He's been eased back in over the last couple of weeks and months, but had a big impact as well.
So Jason McGee and Conor Gray head to head. Fuck it. Oh, well, that has got to be fireworks.
I'd be excited.
I think that Donegal kicked 25 points here regardless. I think that their consistency in attack, they found a way, obviously, of eliminating a lot of the risk of maybe giving the ball away. And was it Ger Brennan was saying their repeat sprintability or one of those?
Yeah, fancy it's relentless. Like, bang, bang, bang,
it
bang,
is
bang.
Relentless. It's constant just sprinting off the shoulder. If something doesn't work, they're recycling, they're getting, and they'll get a shot off. They will probably kick 25 points again. The only question mark I have on Meath is if they can get to that consistently. I think they're going to need goals. Like, Jordan Morris is going to be nailed down. You'd imagine someone is going to have a job to upset him. Yeah, and it'd probably be a team job as well. They'll all be having probably hands on him or paws on him just to make sure.
If you look at what McCall does, which would be worth talking about, like man markers and guys drifting, McCall goes with the man. It doesn't matter where you go on the pitch, he's old school and he's such a weapon for Donegal defensively. If he goes with Morris, then you're looking at who's the matchup, Costello matchup.
I wonder, does McCall tag Costello. That's the one I'd be interested in.
I think Jordan Morris, Tommy, he's kind of, he's put a bulls out. Yeah. This is the beauty of being unbelievable the last day, but the challenge as well.
You don't want to go too
You have a bullseye on your back there. And McCall
did you see Eamon McGee's tweet?
No.
Oh, I love this.
I'm not on Twitter, Tommy, but come on, what is it? I have a feeling I know what's probably in it, but go on.
So Eamon shares the video of a Jordan Morris score. You know the one where he bounces inside his man?
And it's class.
That wee bounce with love heart emoji eyes. Could you just imagine the analysis that's been done in the Donegal restroom of that bounce? Do you know, McGee building them up there is in that beautiful bounce. Could you imagine what the gruesome twosome, Neil and Eamon, would be doing if they were facing the Meath attack this week? They'd be figuring out every single bit about them this week. So
that's the challenge. That's the levels. And Jordan Morris, he's good enough. So
yeah, he definitely has all the skills. I reckon that they'll physically put it on him here, because like when you have a fella like that who loves taking the ball into contact, who will risk being turned over, he'll take you on and he'll go at two or three fellas. They will get some serious physical contact on him. So if I was Morris, I'd be thinking maybe the first few balls, give it, go again. Kind of take out the chance of them to get hands on you too early. Just get it out of contact, give and go, and kind of stay on the periphery maybe. Don't take him on too early. And then as the game goes on, the space will open up a bit better because, as you said, he is going to be the focal point of a team meeting. Lads, we can't let this fella beat us. So, just kind of play cute the first 10 or 15, I reckon.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break on the Football Pod, brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We're back in a minute. I want to just get your thoughts on the minor All-Ireland final. That was really two brilliant teams going at it. And then a bit more on Kerry Tyrone before we press pause before our members pod. Back in a moment.
OTB GAA.
Very welcome back to the Football Pod of Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. James, the Kerry and Tyrone minors played out a thrilling game yesterday. I think Kerry, the league kind of flip-flopped a few times, and you could see the character of both sides and a lot of great young fellas there, and both management teams afterwards came across the top very well in TG Carr under interviews. Tyrone Pippett in the end, a late score by Dermot Martin, wasn't it, that just a ball off the post and he just finished off the rebound. But it was a penalty as well by Peter Colton that he roofed into the top corner. It was a big score. Kerry had regained the lead. Ben Kelleher cutting in, nearly got a goal. It comes off, I'd say, the keeper's side and just skims over the bar. And Kerry's late chance just didn't go their way. And Tyrone ended up as All-Ireland champions. So a phenomenal result by Tyrone, who've backed up their minor now with an under-20 as well a couple of weeks back as well.
Back-to-back 20s and a minor. They're on for the treble. I saw a Mulligan training and yesterday. They are coming big style, aren't they? I mean, the amount of underage fellas they've come through playing at an unbelievable high level. It's some of the scores they got. And fairness to Kerry, I thought Kerry played well. They were unlucky. Ben Keller, Killarney man, he'd be Dr. Crooks, gets a great goal. But Kerry were super 2 points up going into injury time, or a point up going into injury time. And end up losing. You know, like that, it's hard to take at times, you know, when you have those defeats. But as I always say, maybe in the long game, some of those players, it might give them an extra bit of fuel to go on and make a serious shot at the 20s and the seniors later on in their careers. So they'll take a lot of pride from their campaign, and they've done a great job. Some brilliant players in that camp.
For sure. Paddy, just on what James was saying there, Niall McCoy crunched the stats, Gael Clife, and an RT sports journalist. Tyrone in the last 25 years really is something spectacular. Four All-Ireland Senior Football Championship titles, six under-20s or under-21 All-Ireland titles, five minor football championship titles.
In the last 25
years. That's 15 All-Irelands.
This century.
Listen to this. 15 All-Irelands across those three grades in the last 25 years compared to six in their history before the year 2000. Something else, what they're doing up there.
Strategy, planning, one of the first adopters, the development squads, obviously the development of Garvahy, centre of excellence. It is phenomenal, and the show is just keeping on the road. They had a tough couple of years, obviously the last couple of seasons at senior level, but they're working the schools, McCrory Cup, Hogan Cup successes, their underage teams, and whatever. But that's the victories. We always say this. And it's not all just about winning the All-Ireland at those ages. It's competitive every year, pricking two or three players from each squad to come through. It is the template for everyone else. everyone else. And this year is the latest one where it's a minor and 20 double, and their seniors are, their show is back on the road at senior level as well. So it's other counties look on enviously, no more so than we own. We need to try and catch up on that side. But I agree with Jimmy, just the quality of play. We said in the 20s final that okay, Loud were well beaten in the end, but they've four or five serious players who you expect to form the backbone of their team going forward, whoever it is in charge. And for Kerry, so I was surprised they won those five minor All-Irelands in a row. They probably haven't got as much as they would have hoped out of that. But again, at 20s and minor level, they're competing for All-Irelands. And I'm sure a lot of those guys, as hurt as they may be today, if Kerry get four or five of those guys going on to play senior level and compete for All-Irelands, that's the job done. That is the ultimate role of a minor and underage team. So,
for sure. Just briefly, because we only have a couple of minutes here. Before we get to our members pod, we're going to really dig into the game here, James. Apart from Clifford and O'Shea, where else is a key line on this field now at the weekend? Because obviously Tyrone have a number of options in attack that have caught fire at different stages this season. But where else are you looking at?
There's pressure on that. There's pressure on that Tyrone attack to perform this weekend.
Sure.
Yeah, there is, because I suppose we're waiting for Derek Enovan to explode. But I don't see, like we said, that maybe Armagh took the eye off the ball with Shawnee and that he was quiet and they maybe made a bit of an error there. I don't see Kerry taking their eye off the ball with the Kenevans. I mean, he's still going to be absolutely nailed down. Who's going to pick him?
I'm not sure yet.
Tom Sullivan looked like he picked up a calf injury in the quarterfinal. He would have been nailed down for a big job. You've Dylan Casey, you've Paul Murphy, Jason Foley. I suppose they'll match up size-wise. Matty Donnelly, that we looked after. There's plenty of jobs to do back there. But like, if they get the Canavan and McCurry ones set, I think that they're the ones. Because Tyrone will try and slow this game down a little bit, like they did against Dublin. They want to keep it in the melting pot until the end and then launch that bench and get the crowd involved and off they go. So Kerry need to keep... I think they need to keep a head in this game. Keep McCurry, keep Canavan quiet. Keep chipping away. If a goal chance comes, great, take it. But if you go behind to Tyrone here and they get up and they slow the game down and then they have that kick off the bench, I think that's where Kerry could come unstuck. The other big advantage, I would say, even though it didn't cost Kerry at all in the Armagh game, is aerially and physically, size wise. Like that Armagh midfield we thought maybe would perform a bit better 2 weeks ago, but the Tyrone midfield is seasoned. And they're experienced, and they're going to be thinking, we have a chance here to lay down a marker in midfield and get on top. That might be somewhere where Tyrone are really aiming to put damage on Kerry. But I say Kerry, although they were experienced in that area, they have done so well to compete and on the breaks, and the kick out was working brilliantly against Armagh. So if they can keep to that standard, that might be okay. But Tyrone will definitely focus on that area, I think.
Is there a fear, Jimmy, down there of it was such an exceptional performance, and a lot of that was driven by that element of being written off? And look, the last 2 weeks has been praised, and rightly so, for Kerry, because it was an exceptional performance, levels we haven't seen from Kerry or any team really in a number of years. And the challenge for Joe O'Connor, Mark O'Shea, Sean O'Brien around that middle third that we spoke with, all the question marks before the Armagh game, and they wiped Creeley and Grimley, such a platform for Armagh. And a key part to trying to take out this Tyrone team is Conkle Patrick and Brian Kennedy. We know Kickouts Morgan's going to try and find them. Can Kerry get back? I think that a big story for that game is, can Kerry get back to somewhere near those levels that they showed last Sunday week ago? And a bit, yeah, you know, it's like a lot of it is driven by emotion. There's a little bit of the Michael Jordan, and I took that personally type stuff that drove that performance against Armagh. But I think that's a key battleground around the middle third. McCurdy, if you're on his shoes, you know, taking off the last day after having, you know, such a brilliant season, he's going to come in and go, give me the ball, I'm going after this. So
he has Foley, a good record against
he Curry. Does. Foley probably go with him, a better fit. Although Tom Sullivan, I agree, like for like with Derek Hannum, well, could be very good.
I think Tom's in
is
trouble.
Tom out?
Tom, well, I'll ask Jack in a short
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Sorry, we'll get into this on Wednesday. Sorry,
yeah, we will.
There's two brilliant games.
Ask advice for me, James, chatting to Jack.
Chat just apologise for your performance a couple weeks ago.
I think you'll be thanking me.
Another friend of the pod, a big listener.
For sure. Big listener on his walks in the mountains of South Kerry. A bit of breaking news, and this is disappointing actually for Cavan football fans. Cavan manager Raymond Galligan has stepped down from the role. So Cavan are on the lookout for a third manager in as many years. A surprising decision, but Raymond spoke about his work commitments, and unfortunately I had to step away. I manage a very busy day centre in Rathfarnham for adults with intellectual disabilities, and it's reached a point where I can't commit myself fully to both roles, especially all the travel involved and my own family commitments with two small children. I want to thank everyone who's been involved, the players, Backroom County Board. Cavan enjoyed excellent wins, this is Paul Fitzpatrick in the Anglo South, over Monaghan and Mayo in successive championships, and Galligan's side have exclusively faced Division 1 opposition in the last two championships. So, look, there's something for them to build on now over the next little while, but that is disappointing to lose. Such a young manager who took the role on at a young age and has obviously probably learned a lot. I'm sure we might see him back again.
Tommy, you said it, the nail on the head there. Like, trying to, whatever demands on players, inter-county managers, multiply that by 10. Yeah. And trying a young family. Jimmy can hardly stand up straight there with his new daughter. It's heavy going, like. And then you're trying to build your career outside of it as well. So it probably won't be the last managerial change we see. But tough news. I think the challenge, like, what's success for Cavan? You know, and they've had very difficult games, Ulster Championship, things like that. That win over Mayo was probably the highlight, but they came up against Kerry in that preliminary quarterfinal. It was like, there's not a lot they could have changed there to try and change that result. That's just the realities of it. So,
yeah. Like, it's hard. I think we probably are going to see a lot of 2-year, 3-year max stints because it's, and ideally, you probably do want a manager in charge for as long as you can to get the support structures right, for them to learn the job and see what it actually takes. But there's so much that goes into it. 2 or 3 years is probably the shelf life of a manager because he's burnt out.
Yeah, ask Jack that. Tommy, ask Jack that. How is he still motivated? This is his...
He's retired, though, to be fair.
It makes a difference now.
But he's still mad for Road. He still loves it. McGeaney spoke about it last week. Just addiction. Love it.
Haven't caught it yet, but I noticed James Horan on the Examiner pod this weekend has said that he's no interest in a return to the Mayo job, despite the talk. I had a go with that, and I think it's time for Mayo to look at someone different or something different. So we will see what happens in Mayo and plenty of other counties over the next couple of weeks. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thanks very much for this Monday pod recording. It'll be out later this evening when I get down to Tralee and chat to Jack O'Connor and edit it before heading back up the road. And I might be in Tyrone tomorrow, actually. Garvahi, there's a presser there, so... try and make that happen too. Boys, talk soon.
Fair play. Cheers, to boys. You. Doing the mileage.